Yes, I'd like to wish everyone a beautiful Shabbos. I hope everyone had a beautiful week. The complete down for Yehuda ben Shifra, Benjamin Ovadia ben Esther, Matisyahu Chaim ben Ittel, Matisyahu Chaim ben Ittel, Moshe David ben Bela, Moshe Dov ben Feiga Bracha, Moshe Dov ben Feiga Bracha, and Moshe David ben Bela, two different names, and Moshe David ben Feiga, Wachel bas Ilana, Yehudit bat Wina, Avam Yeshayahu ben Aviva, Leah Pesha bas Dina, Brina Bracha bas Wina, Daniela Bracha Zahava bas Feiga Leia, Daniela Bracha Zahava Basfegaleya, Netanel Ilan Ben Shenet Zipoa, Chaya Malka Bat Batsheva, Baruch Tzvi Ben Esther, Pinchas Eliezer Ben Esther, Sprinza Bat Esther, Shira Bas Devoa Leia, Ava Meya Ben Bela Fega, Leah Bas Wachal. You can please down for all the scholim, some of them need the Fuhu Shlema. And meantime, some of them are more sick than others, but please down for all of them. So this week's Parsha is Parsha Shlach. So Moshe Feinstein's, that's I'll ask a great question. You know, you're talking about the Meraglim, which Hashem took around Mitzrayim through Esther Marcus, Kriyas Yamsov, gave the man, Dan Air covered, Bir Miriam, Har Sinai, the incredible miracles they saw. Zakra Moshe Feinstein, how do they think how did this Meraglim think that Hashem cannot overcome the 31 kings of Canaan, and obviously the giants and all that? Hashem did all these miracles, and Hashem's all powerful, Bala Kochos, Bala Yicholos, how can they not know that? Zakra Moshe Feinstein. Because they believed in the miracles, meaning they believed that this is all Hashem could do. Yes, Hashem could provide us man, could provide us a wellspring of Miriam, and Ani covered, and Bea Miriam. He can do the Esther Marcus Kriyas Yamsuf, but that's all he can do. He can only overcome one king, Paro, but he can't overcome 31 kings. Zakra Moshe Feinstein, that's the pshat. The Emunah was in the miracles, and they didn't look beyond the miracles. They didn't contemplate about the miracles. They didn't think about it. And that's where they thought Hashem can only do this and no one else. And they can do this and Hashem can't do anything more. And that's why Hashem, well, Moshe Feinstein, that's our point. That's why Hashem told Moshe, Lo Yaminu Bi. Hashem told Moshe, they don't believe in me. In this week's Parsha. Because what, you know, because all they believe, they of course they believe in Hashem, but they believed Hashem was limited. That's all he can do with all these miracles. He can't do more. And that's why the Maragim thought that Hashem can't overcome the 31 kings. Then Avnei Azel. I know I'm going a little bit out, but why? Hava Baruch Newman, he's Rabbi Young Gizel Spring Valley. He says, why is the Mitzvah Challah right next to Avodah Zarah? This week's Parsha talks about Avodah Zarah, a Jew should not do Avodah Zarah, and then talks about the Mitzvah Challah, you know, taking a piece of the bread off. So Zak Avnei Azel, I believe, because what's Challah? Challah, you know, is your property. And you might say, the challah was made because I did it. It's all mine. This is mine. This is my product. It's me. I made the challah. I made the bread. I made my house. I made my money. And Avnei Azel said, that's Avnei Azel, I believe. That's the worst form of Avodah Zarah. The worst of Avodah Zarah when you believe it's you, not Hashem. So that's why a piece of challah has to be taken off from challah. A piece of challah, that's why the mitzvah challah, that you take a piece of challah off your bread, to order to show you, no, it's all from Hashem. And that's why it's next to Avodah Zarah. So you're not Nichshol in thinking it's you. It's not Hashem. Then Hava Moshe Sternbach from Yushalayim, Yor Kodesh, said, in the Chumash, it says, just like you give Chuma, you should also give Challah. So what does that mean? So Zaka was Sternbach. Well, Sternbach said a beautiful word. He said, you know, when a farmer gives Chuma, he's excited. But then he has to give Maser to Leviim. Then a couple of years, he has to give Maser to Aniyim or take Maser food and bring it in Yushalayim. And then if he makes bread, he has to give Challah. So he might not be so excited anymore. So that's what the Torah is telling us. Just like you were excited when you took off Chuma, be excited when you take off Challah. Realize you're doing a mitzvah. So you should be excited every time you can take a piece or take a piece, either give it to a Kohen, Levi, or a poor person, or give it to, obviously, or give, burn it to Hashem. You should, just like you took off Truma, you should be excited when you take off Challah, even if it means after you, even though you give Challah after giving Truma, Maser, and different Masers, you should be just excited to give Challah, just as you're excited to give Truma. Then it says, but you, Bnei Yisrael lived in the Midbar, and then the Makoshe Seisim, the person gathered wood on Shabbos Akkad. So the Or Chaim HaKadosh said a beautiful word. He said, what does Bnei Yisrael being in the Midbar have to do with the person who gathered wood on Shabbos? Obviously they're next to each other, right? So obviously there's a connection. Like the Or Chaim HaKadosh, Pshat is, the Midbar was only the Wushus HaRabim. The Midbar was only considered Wushus HaRabim, a public throwaway, because Bnei Yisrael was there. And that's why the person who gathered wood was over that Aveil, because he gathered wood in a Wushus HaRabim, and that's us. You can't gather anything in the Wushus HaRabim on Shabbos. So that's what the connection is. Rabbeinu Bechaya said a little different shot. Rabbeinu Bechaya says that by you be Bnei Yisrael ben Midbar, and then talks about Mekosh Shaisim, Zak Rabbeinu Bechaya. Bechaya, because Bnei Yisrael, unfortunately, there was this amount of years, not all, but some members of the Jewish people, some members of Bnei Yisrael were nichshal in the Chet HaMeraglim, and therefore they had to remain in the Midbar. Therefore they were partly responsible for Kosh Yisim. Because Zok Rabbeinu Bechaya, if Bnei Yisrael would have said, no, we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, and they said that right away, not be nichshal, then they would have gone to Eretz Yisrael right away, and there'd be no Mekosh Yisim. Only Dafka, because Bnei Yisrael is in the Midbar, because of the Chet HaMeraglim. Therefore, they had to remain in the Midbar. Therefore, the Mekosh Yisim occurred, meaning they had time for the guy to gather wood on Shabbos. But if they wouldn't have done the Aveva, they would have gone straight to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore there'd be no Mekosh Yisim. The Walag said, Vayu Bnei Yisrael by Midbar. Vayu is spelled the same way inside and out. Vayu, if it's spelled backwards and forward the same way. Because Bnei Yisrael was inside out tzaddikim. That is a similar word was said by Solomon, Vayu Chai Yisrael. So prayed by Bnei Yisrael, Vayu Bnei Yisrael by Midbar. Bnei Yisrael was tzaddikim despite being in the Midbar. Despite they had to remain in the Midbar because that was their punishment, they were so tzaddikim and tzaddikis. They still accepted the judgment from Hashem, and they were tzaddikim and serving Hashem and tzaddikis. Then it says, Ruach Acheres, Kalev, Avdi Kalev, Kalev had a Ruach Acheres. So the Or Chaim HaKadosh said, he points out that first of all, here it's called Avdi Kalev. You rarely see someone, Hashem calls anyone Avdi. And on top of it, Kalev was told that he's going to remain 40 more years for the Jews remain in the Midbar, and Kalev's going to go to Eretz Yisrael. So now Kalev is guaranteed 40 years more, because we know the Jews remaining 40 more years in the Midbar. Because of the Chet HaMeraglim, so therefore Kalev had to live at least another 40-41 years. We don't see that much in the Torah that Hashem tells anyone you can give them how long you're going to live. So why did Kalev get this? That he's called Eved. That Hashem tell him how long he's going to at least live another 40-41 years. You know why, Dr. Chaim? Because Ruach HaKeves. Kalev first said, I got to agree with the Meraglim. But then he fought it. He fought his Yetzer Hara. And therefore, he went against the Meraglim, he stood up for Hashem. That's why he got. And Rav Sternbach said this, that's why he got. Because why? Because he knew that, you know, the Meraglim despised might not listen to him. Kalev said, listen, I got to stand up for Hashem. If Hashem says we're going to Eretz Yisrael, I got to stand up for him. And therefore Kalev stood up. Even so, he knew he was going against the majority of spies. But he was doing it for Kavod Shemayim, and that's why. And another pshat that Sternbach said that Kalev, you know, might have been influenced by the majority, because majority Meraglim, this majority of the spies said, let's go to Eretz Yisrael. But Kalev went against it, and that's a battle himself. It's a major battle to go against, you know, in a majority, meaning not to be influenced by them. Not to be influenced is very hard, but Kalev still stood up for it. So maybe that's why he got rewarded. The Walag just said different shot. It's called Avdi Kalev in Ruach HaKeres. It's all based on the Ochaim HaKadosh, but because Kalev went against his Yetzer Hara, that's why he's called an Eved. An Eved Hashem is someone who goes against a Yetzer Hara, and Kalev went against his Yetzer Hara. That's why he's called Avdi. Then the Sforno points out that Kalev and Yeshua said to the Bnei Yisrael, listen, Hashem's going to give us Eretz Yisrael and is going to give us Canaan in our hands, and we should go. And it's a lachmeinu biyadeinu. It's like bread in our hands. So the Sforno said, what do you mean bread in our hands? So the Sforno said, the pshat is, just like when you eat bread, the bread doesn't fight you. You know, bread can't fight you. So Dr. Kalev and Yeshua, the kings are not going to fight us. We're going to easily walk in because we have Hashem with us. So therefore, it's just going to be like bread. The Walag just said a different shot. What Kalev and Yeshua were saying, Lachmeinu biyadeinu, means Lachmeinu biyadeinu represents what the Kalev and Yeshua were telling Bnei Yisrael, telling the Jewish people. Just like Hashem gave us man, which is bread, Hashem's going to give us Eretz Yisrael the same way. Meaning Hashem is just like Hashem gave us man in our hand, food in our hand, man, so too Hashem's going to give us Eretz Yisrael in our hands. That means Lachmeinu biyadeinu. Hashem's giving the bread in our hands. Just like Hashem gave us man in our hands, same too, Eretz Yisrael is going to be like the man. Hashem's going to easily give us Eretz Yisrael. Then it said, Lekute Bate Lekute, said the spies came back, and they said, we viewed ourselves as grasshoppers, and that's how the people in Eretz Canaan viewed us, as grasshoppers. So Rashi says that the people in Canaan viewed them as ants, A-N-T-S, as ants. So Lekute Bate Lekute, he said, why did Rashi change it from grasshoppers to ants? The Torah tells us that they viewed themselves as grasshoppers, and that's how they got viewed by the people in Canaan. So why does Rashi say, no, the people in Canaan view them as ants? Zak lekute bate lekute. A sefer called lekute bate lekute. Because when you put yourself down, people are going to put you down. Going to put you down even lower. When you put yourself down, people are going to put you down even lower. So the spies and Maggim said we were viewed as grasshoppers. Therefore, based on Rashi, they said, no, you look like ants. Because that's lower than the grasshoppers. Well, Moshe Feinstein's Asal said in Kriyash, in last parsha, Kriyashma is mentioned in this parsha, and in it is a mitzvah of tzitzis. And tzitzis is a mitzvah we're in Techelis, when the base of major will be built. Because, I mean, there are two people who are in Techelis today, but I'm saying, but it, why, so Zakwa Moshe Feinstein, why is Techelis on one string? Why is it on the whole tzitzis? To remind us, you know, of the water, which reminds us of the sky, which reminds us of Hashem. Why don't you have it on all, at least on all the strings, if not the whole whole shirt of your tzitzis? Zakwa Moshe Feinstein. You know why it's on one tzitzis? Because Hashem is saying, take steps. Take small steps in growing in Torah and mitzvahs. Take small steps. Don't take big steps. Because the bigger the step you take, could be the bigger the fall. And you won't be able to pick yourself up. Take small steps, you build a foundation, and therefore you'll be able to pick yourself up if you fall. But when you take a big step, then the bigger the fall, it'll be harder for you to pick up. Well, Moshe Feinstein, that's how I said this. Bnei Yisachar said that, you know, we know that the Meraglim, because they hate Meraglim, they got Yom Lashana. I mean, Bnei Yisachar had to spend a year for every day that Bnei Yisachar did. How many days the Meraglim spent in Eretz Yisrael, which is 40 days, so they got 40 years in the Midbar. And they, you know, they died over 40 years. But it says, V'yidatem nesu nabi, I think it said. That's the pasuk afterwards. Nesu nabi. So Bnei Yisachar said, V'yidatem nesu nali. But Hashem is saying, look, but on the hand, look how much I do give. I reward you 500 times more than, I reward you 500 times when you do something, 500 times greater than when you do something big. And by Gluck, who's a Rebbe in Yeshiva, he saw the Yeshuan in Queens, he said, just take 10 Jews who are doing keeping the Torah and mitzvahs. You know how much reward that'd be for Bnei Yisrael? And we get rewarded 500 times greater? That'd be tremendous reward. That's what he said, V'datim nesu nabi, nesu ni. Look what I do give. Look at the giving I do. Then Moshe Rabbeinu was called with a Yud, you know, so it's Yehoshua. So this based off by Yirmiyah Newman from Chicago. It's based off it. So Pshat is, Yeshua now has Yud Kei, part of Hashem's name. It was to help Yeshua to know that Hashem's with him wherever he goes. So he should never be depressed. He should never feel he's alone, even when he goes against the Chet, even goes against the Meraglim. And Meraglim starts with a Mem and ends with a Mem. Zuck the Walag said this. The Mem stands for Motzi Shema, for saying lies. That's why it starts with a mem and it ends with a men. It ends with a mem. We're telling spies that when you go spy, just say what you see. Don't add motzi shema. Don't add sheker to it. Don't add lies to your story. Then Rav Yirmiyah Neumann from Skokie Yeshiva. Oh, sorry. First, Rav Yirmiyah Neumann called me the Satmar Rebbe. Rav Yo Teitelbaum Zatzal Zuchuso Yagen Aleinu. Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Meragdim, is there anyone chashiv? Is there anyone important in Eretz Canaan? And bring me back some fruits. So the Satmar Rebbe said, what does that mean? So what Moshe Rabbeinu was asking the spies, the Meraglim, he was saying to them, is anyone really great in Canaan? And if there is, look at the fruits. Look at the students of this person. Look at the students and the children of that Adam Chashev. Because then you'll really see if they're really Chashev. Because if their students are not so good, and their children are not so good, that means the person himself is not so good. That's how you tell an Adam Chashev. You look at the students and the children. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu, bring me back the fruits. I mean, bring it back. Look at this, look at the fruits of the Adam Chashev. And that's how you know if he's an Adam Chashev. Rav Yirmiyah Neumann from Chicago said this, that we know Hashem told Bnei Yisrael that when you go to Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to give leprosy to Saras on the house, the people living in Canaan. You'll knock down the house and you'll find a lot of money in it. But we know Tzawas can only be on houses that are square, not on houses that are round. The Meraglim came back and said, I think it might be based off Rashi again, but the Meraglim said, they live in towers, some of these people in Canaan. They live in houses that are round. What the Meraglim was saying, that Hashem, what he's saying is not true. He can't give us the gold he wants. These houses are round. Round houses cannot get Tzawas. And that's why he said, you know what he said, that's what Meraglim said, what he said. And then it says, in the last part of Kriyishma, is Chasim es kol mitzvos Hashem. Zaktos Avos, one of the Slanim Rebbe's. Chasim es a kol. You should realize that everything done in this world, mitzvos Hashem, is because Hashem commanded it. Hashem commanded all this should occur in this world. That's Chasim es a kol. You should realize everything that's going on in this world, mitzvos Hashem, is because the commandment of Hashem. And nothing's a coincidence. I'd like to wish everyone a beautiful Shabbos. I'm going to leave you now a bunch of votes. Again, ask your local Orthodox rabbi. This is just a lot to discuss at the Shabbos table. So, the Chazon Ish and Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's all. I believe maybe the Stipler. I don't want to misquote the Stipler, but I think it might be the Stipler also. But Rav Yaakov Zev Smith quoted me, them. Let's say you find an object that's lost, or let's say you get a letter that's not yours. You get it mailed to you. So you can call the person up and say, I found your lost object, or a letter was mailed to me. And if the person, after a reasonable time, the person does not come to get the letter or get the lost item, you can either keep it or throw it into the garbage. But you do not need to go to that person's house. You just contact them. They come to you. If they don't come to you after a reasonable time, then you can keep it or throw it into the garbage. Doesn't make a difference. The Minchas Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Weiss said, let's say you left a pen. And let's say you left a big pen, a regular big pen, you left it at the corner of a table. A corner of a table you left it in. Exactly at the corner you left it. And you come there and the pen looks like yours. But again, you don't have a sign that that's yours. But you left it but exactly the place where you left it. So Minchas Yitzchak said you can assume it's your pen and you can keep it. Meaning if you left an item in a certain place and it's there when you came back and exactly fits what you left, even so it has no seam on, you can assume it's yours, because the odds are great that someone else left a big pen exactly at the corner of the table, I'm just giving that example, is very unique. Therefore, you can keep it, you can assume it's yours, even so it doesn't have a sign on it. Then, also, let's say you're in a completely dark room on Shabbat. The room is completely dark, no light coming in. You cannot ask a guy, you can't ask a non-Jew to turn the light on for you. And if the non-Jew does turn the light on for you, you have to leave the room. You have to leave the room if a non-Jew does turn the light on for you. We're talking about on Shabbos, and probably the same thing I'm guessing on Yom Tov also. But during the day, if the room has windows, and through the windows you get some light in the room, so then if the non-Jew turns the light on for you, you can remain there, because there's light coming from the window. So it's not totally based on the... But that's only during the day. At night, it would be so problematic. At night, it would be problematic because no light comes through the window at night. At night, you know... So, but let's say you take a completely dark room and a non-Jew turns the light on for you, you have to leave the room. You cannot remain there on Shabbos. And on top of it, you cannot ask a guy to do that. You cannot ask a guy to do that for you. Have a gewaldig Shabbos. I hope everything's going well. Bye-bye.